on the challenges of our day and the challenges facing our nation, the more I am convinced that the problem, one of the roots of the problem that we face, is the idea of meritocracy. Meritocracy, that the society is ordered by those who have obtained merit. The idea that you get what you earn. And when we connect meritocracy with capitalism and the history of our nation, which began with social thought that was about property and the protection of your private property, you fall into the problem that we are having today, which is not that people should be rewarded for merit in achieving things for the good of society, or for the betterment of their people or their family or their school or their church or whatever. That's fine. But when we decide that you have to merit your food, when we decide that you have to merit your water, when we decide that you have to merit your health care, we have gone too far. We have gone too far. And that is the challenge that I think our nation faces today. And if we look at our scriptures, we can see that consistently there is very subtle challenges to the ideas of meritocracy. God, the job description of God pretty much includes you get to do what you want. Talk about merit. Making the universe gives you a lot of merit. And yet God decides, this God who can decide to do a reboot of creation in the Noah story, decides not simply to say, this is going to be the way it is, but to enter into a covenant. God could have said, okay, the flood is over, you get to live now, and that's all I'm saying. Right? God could do that. Right? But God instead enters into a covenant. And God doesn't only enter into a covenant with the human beings who are supposed to be worshiping God. God makes the covenant with all flesh, even the animals, all flesh, including the mosquito. Right? There's a way in which God gives up a kind of priority and status, gives up a certain merit, and enters into covenant with all flesh. It is a story that subtly undoes many of our notions of meritocracy. The same thing with this teaching from Jesus. The idea that God is our Father is not just a nice, pious notion. It's also not just a nice piece of poetry. And it's also not just a piece of sexism and the acknowledgement of male social priority. Calling God Father, when Jesus does that, what he's saying is that in the context of first century Judaism, God is the paterfamilias, the father of the family, and there are responsibilities for the father of the family. The father of the family is supposed to provide food for the family. It's supposed to provide shelter for the family. That's the job of the pater familias. So when Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer and we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, we are acknowledging God as the Pater Familias. And therefore, it is God's job to give us this day our daily bread. And we pray that prayer every day, and we don't stop to think that that prayer does not say, if we earn it. That prayer does not say, if we merit it. That prayer does not say you only deserve bread if you work hard. Everybody is supposed to get their daily bread because God is the Pater Familias of the world. That's the way it's supposed to work. And we've forgotten that in this country. That's the way it's supposed to work. It's not about merit. Food is not about merit. Water is not about merit. Healthcare is not about merit. Compassion is not about merit. Love is not about merit. None of it is about merit. So when Jesus says, look at the lilies of the field, God is the householder of this world. God clothes those lilies, and God can clothe you too in great splendor. Just because God is the Pater Familias of the world. Your heavenly Father knows you need these things. It's an undoing of merit. If you look at that text thinking of merit and meritocracy, it makes no sense. You have to let go of those ideas for the text to begin to show you its promises. The Venerable Aeneas. We don't know when he existed. We don't know if he existed. Like many stories from the early centuries of the church, if you want to look at it in terms of historiography, it's questionable. But I would assert that it's a great story because it captures for us a passion of our ancestors about our faith. Aeneas is, in the story, an accomplished spiritual master. He merits honor. He merits being served. And he consistently gives away. He consistently serves instead of being served. And many of those stories of the saints and martyrs from the early centuries of the church are all about that. All about these people of great spiritual merit who are constantly giving it all away in imitation of God, who is constantly giving everything that is God to everything that is not God. And our ancestors loved to tell these stories. They loved to tell them because Rome was an empire where merit wasn't associated with capital and hard work. Merit was associated with coercion and power. If you managed to tromp on your enemies and climb the ladder on people's back, you merited the goods of the Roman Empire. And our ancestors challenged that idea of that violent meritocracy with stories of saints like Aeneas who are constantly deserving of great merit and who constantly gave it all away. Right? So these stories show us, I love them because, you know, I like the stories of saints who have, you know, companions that are like lions and bears and things, right? They're great. They're wonderful stories. And if you analyze those early stories of saints and the wild animals, you begin to see that there's a pattern to those stories where the animal's response to the saint shows you something of the saint's spiritual merit, right? So Aeneas is of high spiritual merit. He spent a lot of time in prayer and devotion to God and in self-examination and in penitence and all these other things. And we know that it has worked because he's got these two lions that hang out as his companions and pets. Right? And one of them even takes a message. He learns about a monk who's about to make a big error. And the person is far away. So he writes the person a note and gives it to a lion who takes it to the person. Right? These stories of animals and saints are a way of showing us that he actually is a very deeply spiritual person of merit. And then guests come and he gives them water, and he even travels a great distance to give them water. And the local ruler realizes that he's doing this and gives him donkeys, so it's easier for him to go and get water. And he just gives the donkeys away to poor people who need them and still walks and gives water. And finally, they just build a well right by his monastery so he doesn't have to travel, because it's not going to do any good to give him a donkey because he keeps giving it away. He keeps giving it away. That's the clue in the story. It's the way the story shows us a challenge to meritocracy. Here is this saint who even the lions obey, and he gives away all of his merit in service. And that's ultimately the call, isn't it? The call is not to do good. The call is not to excel. The call is not to do good. The call is not to better yourself, your family, and your world. The call is go ahead and gather that merit, but then give it away. Don't gather that merit and then structure a society where people who can't or don't gather that merit don't get to live. Create a society where gathered merit is joyfully given away. And then maybe if we learn to do that, we can all have lions as pets. Because it will be a completely different world if we let go of our notions of meritocracy.